Come, Holy Ghost, our souls inspire and lighten with celestial fire. Amen. Please be seated. Fire can be a dangerous thing. Each year we witness the devastation of thousands of acres reduced to rubble by wildfires spreading out of control and consuming everything in their path. When I was newly ordained at Trinity Church in Hartford in 2007, we had a residence for low-income people on Allen Street called the George Beach Home, where there was a fire. The fire was contained in one apartment, which was completely destroyed, but the smoke permeated the building and the entire facility had to be vacated. For days, 40 or so residents were unable to return home. I made provisions for the residents to spend the day at the church while we partnered with the Red Cross to provide motel rooms in the evenings. Lives were disrupted, possessions destroyed, doors smashed open, with older people and those with disabilities afraid when their door was busted open and not sure what to do. Fires are frightening. Even a small one like that at the George Beach home had ramifications for everyone in the building. Fire can be dangerous. At the same time, it is life-giving. It is a force we cannot live without. Even in the wake of a raging forest fire, new life emerges quickly. There are even some seeds that require periodic fires to allow them to bring forth the life that is within them. The celestial fire of the Holy Spirit is no different. It is both life-giving and dangerous. It cannot be controlled. It spreads as the Spirit wills, permeating everything, fueled by the breath, the pneuma of God. The Spirit which descended upon the apostles as tongues of fire started an inferno that spread from Jerusalem until it consumed the whole world. It gave them new life, but also sealed their faith. Compelled to preach Jesus risen, compelled to challenge religious conventions, compelled to establish new communities built on radical hospitality and love, set them on a road that Jesus traveled. This dangerous flame led them to suffering and death. In spite of the price, they could not proclaim Jesus risen. The fire, fanned by the breath of the Spirit, burned too hot, too out of control. Pentecost is considered the birthday of the church, a time to celebrate our life in the Spirit. We now enter the long season of Pentecost from today until Advent on November 25th, a time to reflect on our own Christian journey, both individually and as a community. The truth is that the church knows that the celestial fire of the Spirit brings new life and is dangerous. Our history proves this to be true. Sadly, much of the church history is of a church trying to contain the Spirit's fire, trying to control it, harness it. But time and time again, the Spirit breaks loose and the fire spreads out of control. When the life of the church seems to be diminishing, the Spirit breaks loose and its fire spreads, stirring things up. This happens in major formal renewals of the church that have happened roughly every 500 years. The most recent formal renewal was the early 1960s with Vatican II. Vatican II was not just a reform movement within the Roman Catholic Church, but the Spirit was breathing and moving through the entire Church Catholic toward fundamental renewal and change. During these times of renewal, there are waves of ecumenism and interreligious tolerance. It comes in radical communities sharing all that they have with one another and the poor. It makes itself known through people like St. Francis, Mother Teresa, Bishop Oscar Romero, Martin Luther King, or Pope John the 23rd. The fire of the Spirit makes itself known in the voices of women and children, people of color, refugees, persons with disabilities, gays, lesbians, or transgendered persons, the elderly and the infirm, the weak, the poor, persons from religious minorities and disenfranchised, that they step out of the shadows and claim their place as persons of dignity, created in the image of God, and say, no more, we will not be silent. This is when the spirit burns hot, speaking truth to power and challenging structures of a world seeking to douse the spirit's flames. It is invisible moments like these, like the teenagers across our nation who are now challenging the laws and policies on gun safety. Young people, not yet adults, yet no longer children, telling my generation, you failed to keep us safe, and we will no longer be quiet about it. We will stand up for ourselves if you won't. The celestial fire of the Spirit also makes itself known in radical acts of love and kindness, of hospitality extended beyond our comfort zone, present as healing balm for those who are hurting and broken and seeking wholeness. Just look at the act of love that this parish extended to our Sexton family, who now has an adequate place to live, who in turn are providing loving care to our buildings and property. This is what it looks like when the Spirit is moving in our midst. The symbols of the doves that hang above your heads are to remind us both of these dimensions of the fire of the Holy Spirit. To remind us the Holy Spirit fuels a flame that burns in you and in me and calls us forth to be radical lovers in a world starving for love and connection. As we see the prayers of the doves swirl above our heads, we're reminded of our connection to one another, to those we love, to those who are hurting, to those who have died. They also contain prayers that cry out for justice against powers of this world that want to keep certain voices silent. Both prayers of compassion and calls for action are hanging in the midst of this congregation. And you are invited to keep this going by adding prayers as you are called to pray, simply taking a dove from one of the baskets in the back, writing your prayer on it, and putting it in the basket of completed prayers. As Pentecost continues, let's fill this mobile with our prayers, our burning hearts, and invite the Holy Spirit to be present. From the moment those apostles filled with the Holy Spirit left that upper room, this is how it has been. A church in which the celestial fire continues to burn, in spite of our repeated efforts to extinguish it. However, the safety of the upper room is merely an illusion. It can be a place to rest, but God's Holy Spirit does not let us rest there long and keeps us urging forward. The Spirit also shows up in small, lovely ways that touch our hearts. This past Friday, when we were putting Emil's ashes to rest, Josh was up here practicing, and as people were arriving, Ruth was here and others, and he provided this beautiful music for people to simply sit and reflect. That's the Holy Spirit at work, even in small things. Totally unplanned, the music brought comfort to folks. The Spirit was always there. We just simply need to readjust our eyes to be able to see it. Fire is a dangerous thing. The fire of God's Holy Spirit will move us to places we might not rather go, calling us to be a people we could not have imagined. May the flame of God's love infuse our lives, transform us, and renew us, that we might be agents of reconciliation and restoration in this community of Hebron and beyond into our broken world. And let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and lighten us with your celestial fire. Help us leave the upper rooms of our lives and step into the flame of your love, that we might inspire this world to go where you would send us. Amen.